As I was going through this, I got to thinking about things that would cause us to lose or not gain as much spiritual potential that we have. The first thing I thought of was worldly temptations. In Genesis 19, verse 16, it says this, "And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city." In verse 26 of the same chapter it says, "But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." Now, as we talked about in Sunday school classes a while back, we see that when Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah, he went into the city of sin, didn't he? And his wife went in with him, and his children went in with him. And when the angels came, what happened? He said, they told him that he needed to get out of that city because God was going to destroy it. And he needed to get all of his family out. He went to his sons and daughters and told them, "You've got to leave, you've got to leave. God's going to destroy it." And what did they do? They laughed him to scorn. The next day, the angel says, "We have to leave now." They grabbed a hold of him, they grabbed a hold of his wife, they grabbed a hold of his two daughters that were living with them, and they took them out of the city. Just like that, they were gone. Went right out of the city. Now, his wife loved sin so much that she turned around and she looked back at the city. And the moment she did that, she turned into a pillar of salt. Now, when we go into sin, sin many times feels so good that it's hard for us to leave sin. It's hard for us to get out of that sin state. It's hard for us to take and turn around and go back to where we should be. Now, I think all of us from time to time have been there, and we know what we're talking about. But not only did the temptation of this world hinder Lot and his wife, it also caused him to lose part of his family. Now, you remember the story. They went to Sodom, he pitched his tent towards sin. Listen, every morning he got up, every morning he saw sin. Every night he went to bed, he saw sin. What do when we watch TV at night before we go to bed? See sin. Get up in the morning, click on. I don't care if you watch the news or what, you still got them dirty, rotten commercials. Amen? Yeah, I hate it in the morning. I mean, Max hates the weather people. I've never seen a dog like him. I really haven't. I honestly haven't. The very minute somebody comes on and says something about the weather, he's in the living room sitting there looking at the TV barking at it. It doesn't matter what channel it is, doesn't matter what weatherman it is, he knows when the weather comes on and he stands there and barks at him through the whole weather forecast. I'm thinking, how did he know that? But here we see that she liked the temptation of sin so much that she lost what she had because of it. You know, this world temptation can hinder our spiritual growth immensely. The second thing is this, attempting to use things of this world to fight battles. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 39, it says, "And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he assailed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with thee, with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him." Now, when David went to fight Goliath, Saul said, "You know what? You need to have armor. After all, who goes to battle without armor, right?" After, in those days, they had full armor, they had a shield, they had a sword. And he says, "Okay," he says, "now, use my armor. Since you're not a soldier, use my armor." Now, it says in the Bible that Saul was a head taller than anyone else. So he was a tall man. And David was just a youth. He was small. And when you put on this big armor, you know, clang, 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 I can just see him trying to walk in it, you know what I mean? But just think of David for a minute. Wow. I get to use the king's armor. Wow! I get to go into battle with the king's armor. I am so going to do this. But that wasn't David. He could have used the temptation to use Saul's armor or the world's way of doing things, but David did not do that. He took it off. He took a slingshot. He took 5 smooth stones, and he went into battle with what he knew he could win with. You know, he had to trust the Lord to fight his spiritual battles. When David removed the ark, remember that? 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 3, it says, "And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzziah and Ahol, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart." Now, David moved the cart using the ark the way that the world had done it. Who had moved the ark before this with a cart?
Uriah.
Nope. Is that me, Mike? Nope, the Philistines. The Philistines had captured the ark in the time of Samuel. Actually, in the time of Anyway, so they had captured the ark, and now we see that, and then it was taken to the house of Abinadab, and that's where it was left. Now, David says, "I want the ark to come into Jerusalem. That's where the ark should be." So they're going to take and move the ark. Well, David went back and he looked to see how they had moved the ark over to Abinadab, and it was with a cart. So David says, "Yeah, let's do it that way." David didn't look at Scripture to find out how God wanted that to do. It was the Philistines that had moved the ark. He forgot about that. The world was the one who moved the ark the first time. All of a sudden, Uzziah reached up, touched it as it was tipping off, and he died. David was a little bit upset over it. He went back, pouting. So finally, he sat down, he prayed, he asked God, "How do you want me to move this ark?" They looked in the Scripture, and they went back to the book of Exodus, and they saw how the cart was, or how the ark was to be moved, with 2 staves in the side, and was carried on whose shoulders? The Levites, the priest's shoulders. So that's what he did. They went back, they got the ark, and they brought it in. But listen, when we try to use the world's way, I guarantee it's going to hinder our spiritual progress. After all, David was doing the right thing, wasn't he? But he was doing it the wrong way. He was trying to do it man's way instead of God's way. We hinder our spiritual growth by trying to use things of this world to fulfill our spiritual emptiness. You know, if we would only study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, we could have spiritual fulfillment. You know, if David would have only went to the Word of God first, he would have had the Ark of the Covenant a whole lot faster than what he did. Third thing is this. We're discouraged by worldly opposition. We're discouraged by worldly opposition. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10 says, "And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." Now, when Nehemiah was going to build the wall, there was opposition. All the people could see was a bunch of rubbish and decay laying from the old wall. They could not see what they could use that for to build this beautiful wall again. You know, any time we see spiritual growth, or actually, their enemies also were making fun of them. Remember?
If you build that wall, just a fox going across the top of it will lock it down.
That's what the enemies were saying. You guys aren't builders. I mean, they had worldly opposition. Ridicule every single day. They go to build, and there was the opposition just out there, just hammering, hammering, hammering. You know, there always is opposition no matter what we do. But anytime we see any spiritual growth in our lives, we're going to see worldly opposition. Those who are in the world do not want to see growth in our lives spiritually. Guarantee it. And they will do everything they possibly can to see that spiritual growth stopped. If you don't believe me, just think about what happens in your own lives on a daily basis. They will do all they can to hinder our spiritual growth. You know, they'll. Have you ever had somebody come over on Sunday just before church? Oh, we just came over to visit. Well, I'm just going to church. Well, it'll just take a little bit. Then they're there for 2 hours. You know, they'll call when you're having your time with the Lord. They'll invite you over when you should probably be in church. Yeah, they'll invite you to a birthday party on Sunday and then expect you to be there. You know, the world will bring discouragement into our spiritual lives, trying to keep us where we are spiritually and not being able to grow for the Lord. You know, so many times, you know, I see this happen. You know, when we are growing spiritually, all of a sudden something will come into our lives that will knock us down. It may be finances. It may be someone else. It may be something that will stop us from growing spiritually. The fourth thing is this. Unbelief will hinder our spiritual lives. Matthew 13:58 says, "And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." When Jesus went back to his own home country, he could not do many works there because of the people's unbelief. They didn't believe he was who he said he was. They didn't believe he was Jesus, the Messiah. They didn't believe he was the Son of God. It didn't matter how many miracles he did, they didn't believe it. They just did not believe it. They had unbelief. And you know, that's what happens in our churches today, is people don't believe who God really is anymore. They don't believe that God is Almighty. They don't believe God is eternal. They don't believe that God one day is going to destroy everything again. You know, when we don't see things happen for the Lord, we're going to become contrite and will not want to do a lot for the Lord. You know, Brother Mike and I have talked about this many times. When you go to Nornhagen and all of a sudden people don't seem like they're listening to you anymore, you want to quit? You want to quit? But Mike gave a testimony this morning of Abed. I mean, that kid, I'll tell you what, if he could, I believe that he would charge hell with a squirt gun. I really do. I really do. But you know, we become discouraged. And we get out of the way, so to speak. And God wants us to keep going forward. After all, my Bible says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It doesn't make any difference who we are. We need to take and be out evangelizing the area. When we feel no one is listening, we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord and keep our unbelief and hindrance out of our spiritual lives. Discouragement because of others is one of the greatest deterrents of our spiritual growth, believe it or not. Think of it. Discouragement is one of our biggest deterrents for spiritual growth. You know, many times people say, well, why weren't you in church? Well, I had this or this or this or this going on. I said, was it important? Well, yeah. I said, okay, fine. Was it more important than God? Oh, not good. You know, we need to remember that Satan is going to try to get us to question what we're doing, whether or not it's for God or against God. He's going to get us to question whether we're doing the right thing. The fifth thing is this. Worldly possessions are going to hinder our spiritual growth. Matthew 19:22 says, "But when the young men heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Here we see a young man who wanted to follow the Lord so badly that he went to the Lord Jesus and he says, "What must I do to follow you?" Remember the story? Jesus said what? You got to keep my commandments. He says, which one? He says, all of them. He says, well, I've kept all of them since my youth. Jesus says, yes, I know. But now go and sell all your possessions and follow me. Says the man went away what? Sorrowful. For he had great possessions. You know, when we get into the world and we see all the world has to offer, we see the big houses, we see the nice airplanes, we see the fancy cars, we see the beautiful clothes, we see better computers, we see finer guns, we see possessions which this world has to offer. It's hard to not want what other people have, isn't it? I know when my wife and I, we were living in Black Creek, my neighbor, they were pretty well-to-do, and it seemed like he was always getting something new. Always. I mean, he'd get a new snowblower. Guess what? I had to have a new snowblower. He got a 10-horse. I got a 15, you know. I had to show him that I could have more power than he did. I was just like Tim the Tool Man, you know what I mean? Power. I got to have power, you know what I mean? Now, was it dumb? Yeah, it was dumb. But that's the way we are many times, isn't it? We feel that the more possessions we have, the better we are. You know, the old adage, he who dies with the most toys is happiest. That can go right out the window because, you know, I had a lot of toys and I would have died, I wouldn't have been any happier than I am now. The thing that I found was this. The more toys I had, the less I could use them. They sat in the garage. And the reason they sat in the garage, either they were broke, or I was broke and I had to get another job to pay for them. So, you know, it didn't make any difference. I couldn't use them because of one thing or another. And, you know, that's the way we are, isn't it? Sometimes we're not satisfied with what God has given us. We want more, we want more, we want more, we want more. You know, many times we want and want and want, and, you know, until we have to get a second or third job to take care of the thing. In 2 Timothy 4:10 it says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed in Thessalonica, sister unto the Galatia, and Titus unto Demita," you know, even after being with the Apostle Paul for 3 years, here his inner three left him. Why? The pleasures of this world. It was too much for them. You know, I can see now where all of a sudden they're going, well, you know what? I would like to have a new house. My wife has been hounding me for a new house. You know what I mean? Not my wife. My wife's happy with where we're living. But I can see these people, they're going, you know, my kids want this. But I can't buy it for them because I'm not making that much money. After all, Paul, I followed you for 3 years. I thought maybe I would be a rich man by now, but I'm not. You've been in prison all the time, and I have to eat in the food bank lines. Forget it, I'm out of here. Turn your Bible to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Go to verse 66. From this time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. If you don't have that underlined, you need to underline that in your Bible. That has got to be one of the saddest verses in the whole Bible. From that time, many of his disciples, who were they? His disciples went back and walked no more with him. You know, if Jesus' disciples would not walk any more with him because they liked the present world more, then why is it we get upset when people quit the church because they can see something better in the world? Amen? What we need to realize is this, even after being with the Apostle Paul for 3 years, seeing all that he did, seeing all the miracles that God allowed him to do, Demas left his ministry and went after worldly pleasures. We need to realize that worldly possessions or things which we will keep ourselves is going to keep us away from God's people and hinder our spiritual growth. You know, when we were in Wisconsin, there was a lot of Sundays that were nice and clear, and I'd love to have been in that airplane. I would have. I would love to have been in that airplane and taken off and just flown. But you know what? I didn't, because I knew my place was in church. I would have loved to have taken and my wife and I just taken off and went somewhere. Many times we'd just jump in the plane and head west. We'd head east. We'd head somewhere. Didn't know where we were going until we landed. It was great. It was fun. But you know what? Even though it was a worldly possession, I had to put it in perspective with the Lord. What about family ties? The sixth thing is family ties. Luke 9:59 says, "And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Here we see the Lord calling someone to follow him. However, he wanted to go back and take care of the family business first. You know, our family, believe it or not, is going to hinder our spiritual life. You know, when I surrendered to preach, when I told the Lord that I was going to be a pastor, and we surrendered to come to Arizona to start this church, Carol's mom and dad thought I was the biggest heathen there ever was. Why in the world do you want to take my daughter to Arizona, not having a job, not having a stable income? I mean, I was the worst thing upon planet Earth. That's the way they were. Why? Because they didn't have God in their life. They didn't have any idea what we were doing. You know, the only one that really knew that I was doing it right was my mom and my daughter, my youngest daughter. They knew God's will. They know what God's will is. They know how to have spiritual growth. They know that if you're going to have any spiritual growth at all, you've got to take and sometimes distance your families. You know, many times I felt like I should probably go back into the world, find a good paying job, and give my wife what her mother felt I should have, what she should have. But you know, it's hard to leave your family, move to another area, move to another country. I know of missionaries who went to the field, and in just a couple of years, they're back in the States because either him or her missed their family too much. Family means more than staying in the will of God. You know, it's a difficult thing to leave your family and friends and to go and serve the Lord somewhere else. It's a hindrance to one's spiritual life not going and doing what God has called you to do. If God has called you to do something, you need to do it. That's the way it is. The seventh thing is this. Sin's weights hinder our spiritual growth. Sin's weights hinder our spiritual growth. Hebrews 12:1. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." What Paul is saying here is we need to lay aside every weight which so easily besets us. Paul is talking about the sins which we have in our lives and that we don't get rid of them. I have a message that I preach on this specific verse. And when I preach it, I come walking down the middle aisle with a cross over my shoulder. And on that cross is a bag of rocks. And I come up here and I lay the rocks down, each one of them. One is drinking and smoking, whatever, you know, up here on the altar. And I say to the people, I say, now this is what you need to do. You need to come to the altar and lay your sins on this altar, just like this. And then I get up, I start walking away, and each of those rocks are tied to my belt. And as I walk, they follow me down the aisle. And it's like so many of us do. We'll give our sins over to God. We'll lay them at the altar. But then we want to hang on to them as we walk back out, just in case we might need them. Just in case we might need them sometime. Just in case someday it might come across that we will need one of those sins again. You know, each of us have sins which we have that we need to get rid of. If you say, "Preacher, well, you know, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't chew, and I don't run with those who do." Well, that's fine, but what about other sins in your life? What about the sin of pride? What about the sin of covetousness? What about the sin of adultery? What about the sin of drunkenness? What about the sin of robbing God of what is owed Him? What about the sin of hatred? The sin of revenge. The Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." You know, each of these sins we hold on to slows our spiritual growth. Get rid of them. Get rid of all those sins. You get rid of those sins, I guarantee you're going to see a huge step in your spiritual progress. You know, all of us need to bring these sins which so easily beset us and lay them at the cross and leave them there. You know, but too many times we're going to take them back out with us because we feel that someday we're going to need them. You know, this last week has been kind of a trying week for me. I was in Socorro Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I flew home Wednesday, did a funeral on Wednesday, flew back to Socorro Wednesday afternoon, and was there Thursday and Friday, and we came home late Friday night. But I'll tell you what, at the funeral, I preached a message on Proverbs chapter 31. We had two people saved. One of them was a realtor from in town here. And she came up to me afterwards, put her arms around me, gave me a big hug. I thought maybe she might be in church today. But gave me a big hug, and she says, "Pastor Storm, I have never heard anything like that in my entire life." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "You had my emotions running so wild, it was unbelievable." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "I was laughing, I was crying. I was laughing hysterically. I was weeping so bad I couldn't stand it." She says, "I was laughing again. And then," she said, "my heart broke." She said, "When you looked at that casket and pointed to it, and you said, 'If you were here, instead of Terry, where would you be spending eternity right now? She said, I sat there and all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, I realized I was going straight to hell. She said, never before had I ever felt that way. I went and I gave them an opportunity to say the sinner's prayer. There was two of them that raised their hand that they said the sinner's prayer, and she was one of them. Huh? Yeah. And so when we got all done, she says, I feel so good. I said, well, that's great. I said, come to church. She says, don't be surprised you see me. I said, good. But, you know, God uses things in mysterious ways to get people to understand that they need to get saved. Is she going to have a lot of spiritual growth? Yeah, if she gets into a church, good church, and can take and learn what the Bible says. But too many people feel that, you know what, I can watch TV, I can watch Child Family, I can watch Dr. Jeremiah, anyway. I can watch them on TV, and you know what, I get the same thing. No, you can't. It's not the same as live. You know, if you want spiritual growth, you need to take and be in church. But you know, we need to realize what hinders our spiritual life, and we need to change the way we live. You know, we need to live each day for the honor and glory of God.
Amen.
Worldly possession, trying to use the world's weapons to fight spiritual battles, discouraged by world's opposition, unbelief, worldly possessions, family ties, sin weights, all of these hinder our spiritual life. You may not realize how these slow you down spiritually. However, each of these will bring hindrance to your spiritual life. And believe it or not, many times you become callous to them. You become so callous to them, you don't even see it. How many times do you watch TV and all of a sudden there's a swear word comes out on it and it just kind of right over your head? Or how many times are you at work and you hear something that is not real good at work and it just right over your head? We become callous to the way people are talking, to the way they dress, to the things they do. You know, that was one thing nice about last week. All the girls had on dresses. They looked really sharp, all of them. The guys, ties on, walking around the campus. We have more comment made by the staff at the tech there than anybody else. The minute we walk into McDonald's or anywhere else, the kids are all dressed up. I mean, immediately everybody just makes a sigh of relief. Then they have a bunch of gangbangers come walking in there. You know, where are you in your spiritual life? Are you wondering why you're not the Christian that maybe you think you should be? Are there some areas in your life that you need to take and get away from, get out of your life? We all need to have a fulfilled Christian life and live it for the honor and glory of God. If we would do that, I guarantee you would be up here with your spiritual life instead of down here. If we would take and get rid of the things that hinder us from our spiritual growth. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for your love. I just pray, Lord, that you might